Welcome back to part two for She's Killing Me. This is part two. Make sure you go listen to part one. Make sure you leave us a review. Make sure you subscribe.
Five star review.
Or one star. Or make it five star and then just periodically drop it down. And you can visit graysacademypod.com and find all of our socials and our link to our Patreon and our merch store. So make sure you do all of that. And we will kick this episode off with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! And this episode's segment of Living in Shondaland is brought to you by us. Please give us the five-star reviews. Please do the follows. Do all the things that Kelsey just said. It really does go a long way. And also thank you to our microphone and ear sponsor, in-ear monitor sponsor. Sure, we appreciate you. We appreciate all the things you do.
And we love our nice microphones.
Yes, our nice microphones. And this is not a paid advertisement, but I did go get a cotton candy blizzard. So I'm have it.
What? So you just had that earlier, or Jessica went and got it?
It was in my freezer.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, I didn't leave your house.
Let me actually tell you a little bit of a story before we get into living in Shondaland here. So Marlo made a friend at T-ball, and we went out and got Dairy Queen afterwards one day. And I always get a cotton candy blizzard. It's the only thing I order. If it's not on the menu or they're out of cotton candy bits, I don't get ice cream from Dairy Queen. So I go there, I order my cotton candy blizzard, and this guy keeps the bits and the syrup all year long. So I know he always has it. I've been going to this guy for 4 years. I have a Google review to prove it from 4 years ago. I go there and I take a bite, and like the cotton candy pieces are just like, they're bad. They're like chipping teeth. It's like, they're so hard. And I'm like, hey, like, I'm sorry, man. Like, you know me. This is the only thing I order. I think your cotton candy pieces are bad. And he goes, oh, that's so weird. Blah, blah, blah. All right. Like, do you want something different? And I was like, no, I'll just keep eating it. Like, it's fine. And he's like, right, let me know if you want something different. And he goes and he opens up a new batch, makes a new cotton candy blizzard and brings it to me. And he's like, try this. And I take a bite and I go, did you open up a new batch? And he goes, I did open up a new batch. They even look different color. They may have gone bad. But, and I was like, this is perfect, Peter. This is the one. And I only ate like a quarter of it, because at that point I had already had a quarter of the other one that was terrible. But yeah, I saved this and now it's what I'm eating right now. So living
Speaking
in Shondaland.
Speaking of food, I do have to tell you that today I got all you can eat sushi without you.
Oh, hell yeah. Wait, by yourself?
No, Kelly went with me. And also Wyatt, but she didn't eat anything.
Oh, man, I love all-you-can-eat sushi.
There, we have a sushi city. And at lunch, all-you-can-eat sushi is $14.99.
Oh, what a deal.
And it also includes, like, all the appetizers, soups, and everything. And then also, like, teriyaki chicken. All kinds of different stuff. So it was delightful.
Love it. Love it. All right, how many people we got, Kelsey?
We have three.
Okay. All right. The two doctors, the two Syrian doctors.
One of the Syrian doctors.
The bald one.
Yes.
Nice. Let's see. Mr. Lipick.
Yes.
And the Joyce.
No.
The husband?
Yes.
Dang it! I was gonna guess him first and I changed my mind.
Yes. So we have and also, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Nicole Rubio, who directed this episode, is also the paramedic Nicole, who we've seen many, many times before. So she's also in Shondaland in that way. So Anthony Azizi plays Dr. Asali, which I don't think they pronounced it. They said the other one was Dr. Darwish. I don't remember them ever saying his name. I had to go look it up. He is in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Lou Richards, who plays Stephen Joyce's husband, was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Tom Costello, who plays Seth Lepick, was in one episode of Station 19.
Nice. We haven't met him yet.
Correct. So yeah, I that's Livin' in Shondaland, everyone's favorite segment.
So let's start with the Syrian doctors then. This storyline is is kind of intense, actually.
It is quite intense. I enjoyed it.
Agreed. Hold it's on. Interesting I'm, to see.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think for me, one of the biggest scenes was when they, they're in the room, they put the equipment on the table.
Yes.
And they're like, okay, you got to get rid of that. Oh, and one
also,
more thing.
Yeah.
Turn the fucking lights off.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful.
Yeah, that
you know
one
what
was
it gave?
Crazy.
It gave me Obadiah going, Tony Stark built this arc reactor in a cave with scraps. Like, nice. It's just crazy to think the pressure that they're under and what these doctors have to do, what's mm-hmm. going on in places like Palestine right now, and yeah. what these people are having to live through. And we can't even fathom it. This is a fraction of a fraction of a glimpse.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And it's like they kind of talk about it at the top of the episode and then at the very end when Owen is like kind of recruiting everyone and Arizona's already looped in and they're like, oh, if you're helping, and she's like, yeah, they're losing a lot of kids. Cause it's a war. And like I think we especially when I say we, I mean Carmen and I, like as Americans, like we're more, I don't want to say desensitized, but like just more removed because so much of our life, our country has been in quote unquote conflict. It's not technically war because Congress has to declare war, but like it's war. Like we have been in wars as American, our military have been in wars for the majority of our lives. But it all happens in other countries. Like we're so removed from it. That it's like, I don't want to say desensitized. I just think there's like, you're just not in it. So it's different now with like the way that the internet has evolved and like news has evolved and everything. We can be more informed on it. But, I think just the way that they kind of show the doctors, like the doctors have, like that just doesn't occur to them that this is the reality for anyone else. And I think that kind of still is true for at least us in that way. It's like, I mean, yes, it occurs to us. We are aware of it, but it's just something that like we don't fathom in a way of like understanding.
Yeah. It's, I think it's the reality. Like,
yeah,
we live in a reality where there is an assumption that America is involved in a conflict at a global level somewhere in the world. Yeah. And I think the other thing is, and this I do believe this will change in our lifetimes. And I think we saw a bit of that for like 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But there is there's also this assumption that. And it's a fake assumption. It's a false sense of security. Again, this is the part I think that's going to change. The assumption is that the conflict will not happen in our own home. And if the conflict yeah. happens in our own home, it's domestic terrorism. It's not the quote unquote enemy. It's not an opposing country or force. Mm-hmm. It's not Russia attacking us. It is a domestic white neo-Nazi terrorist mm-hmm. shooting up a church or kids at a school right. or a shooter inspired by the words of Hitler on a college campus, right? Like those are things that are part of the reality, and it's a different version than bombs going off in a street or bombs. And now you have to you're doing surgery in a cave.
Right.
But our reality is kids dying on the street because of a gunshot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So It's interesting. It's but you know, you get a kid here, they're getting rushed to the hospital and they're getting top notch equipment. Here. They have bright, beautiful lights shining down. They're not in a cave.
Right.
You know, so it's very crazy. It's a lot to process in this episode with this topic. Very interesting. And the way that they say a lot without saying a lot is also very impressive.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think visually, like that very first moment that you're talking about when they're like, we don't have this. They're like, well, show us what you do have. And they take away like everything except a scalpel, basically. And then they turn the light off and it's a pin flashlight. Like it is the tiniest amount of light. And I'm like, you have to also assume, you know, they say later there's no anesthesia. So all these people are screaming.
That scene was
there's
wild.
There's no way like, this is like a sterile environment. Like it's probably like they do their best, right? But like there's no way it's a fully sterile, because when you think about like what they've shown before, like basically a MASH unit, imagine it's just like a tent. And they're just like bringing in people when they like and putting them wherever they can. But yeah, when Callie's like, oh, you can do this and this and this. And the guy's like, well, I'm just trying to figure out like how I would hold the patient down while I did this. And Callie's like, you don't have to. They're sedated. He's like, how? Because no, they're not.
Yeah, that was another very like telling kind of intense scene for sure. Man, a lot. Also, can I just jump ahead just for a second? I know we're going to backtrack. What the fuck is April doing at the end?
This one is kind of like, I don't super track with the parallel that these two stories are supposed to have for April.
Where the like, Matthew April storyline.
Yeah, like so April finally deciding to like tell Matthew the truth about that she's not a virgin because he wants her to meet his mom. And so she finally tells him the truth, which is the right move. Like, she should tell him the truth. And then he is not happy. And he says it's not about the virginity. He says it's about the lying, which is valid. And then because of that, she's like, I will steal and give it to the Syrian doctors. Which honestly, like, I support it. I just respectfully like I'm like yeah okay like I think you like sometimes you do the wrong thing for the right reason and it the wrong thing shouldn't be considered a wrong thing.
Like, I'm just like you don't helping. Think that Owen's gonna walk them to their cars, say goodbye, and they're just like holding all this shit and he's like I didn't give
well it's
you
like
that.
A duffel bag. And then she's like this whole bag of like scalpels. I'm like, this man has to get on an airplane. I can't carry this on an airplane. This is weaponry.
Yeah, you gotta check that, buddy.
Yeah, so it was just weird.
The other point to that parallel. Well, I guess we'll get there because the Matthew thing. It's weird. It's weird. Anyways, back to the Syrian storyline. The doctors.
Yeah. So they're all helping come up with like. Well, they have the initial moment where it's like, you know, this is what it would be like. And then they want to give a more, like, they want to be as helpful as they can. So they want a really accurate understanding of, like, what tools they have at their discretion. Also, they're like, we don't have power, by the way. There's no electricity. So that's another thing. When April was, like, giving them all this equipment, I was like, does this not run on electricity? Like, can he even use
it? Yeah! I was so confused.
Are these battery powered? Like,
sense.
I don't know. Anyways, so then they take him into the supply closet and they're like, get what you know that you have. And it's a very small amount of stuff. And so
minimal
then
at best.
Yeah, they take the box into the other attendings and they're like, this is what they have. So we need to like kind of look at this and then look at this list of procedures and figure out how we can do these with this group of equipment or supplies, whatever. So they're all working to figure that out. And I do like that and like the way they are walking through the cadavers. They really show some cadavers in this, like that first one.
They
and that
show
I was
some
like that thing
cadavers
is skinned. That is a skinned human and I hate it.
Like, they pulled that thing right out of the. They were like, what was the traveling exhibit? There were, it's like, oh, all the
bodies. The body
yeah.
exhibit.
Yeah. Yeah. That they pulled one fresh out of there. That is a fresh skinned human body.
Yeah.
Predator got to that one.
So, yeah, that was bizarre. But, yeah, so Christina's showing them heart stuff. Callie's showing them different fractures. They're trying to think of
skin grafts.
Yeah, they're trying to think of different things they can use for dressing because they're like, well, if it's gauze, it has to be changed regularly. And we can't really do that. And then Weber says sugar, which is crazy.
So I actually learned that recently. Did I tell you the story of how there was a dog who came in who tore their butthole and their colon came through the butthole?
Yes, the prolapse.
Yeah. So they use sugar to help use as a compound to A, reduce the swelling, but also as like a packing material so that like the like what gauze would have been around the colon. So yeah, sugar is, it's very interesting, very, you know, a little bit in your coffee, a little bit on your prolapse colon, a little bit on your wounds in Syria. It's a universal thing, you know?
Yeah. I was like, sugar, you can just pour sugar in a wound and it'll be, it's the same as, but I'm like, but then there's sugar. Like, I don't, my brain can't process. I'm like, I don't get it. Then there's sugar in you. That can't be right.
What if you're already so sweet?
I did just eat 4 Oreos.
I am eating a cotton candy blizzard. This is all sugar. This is 150% sugar.
Yeah, this is 2,000,000,000% sugar.
I do like that there's one scene where they're all kind of working, and they really bring the drama down for a second. They really bring it into Grays.
Yeah.
Because while Meredith and Christina are teaching one of the doctors, I don't know which procedure it was, but they start gossiping about the Matthew thing, and April's like asking them the questions, and she's like, he respects women, he's good values, and I don't know if it was Meredith or Christina who's like, he's a unicorn, you should tell him the truth, blah, blah, blah. I love that the one doctor later on goes to April and is like, I want to know how this story ends, dude. Like, give me the deets, girl. I thought that was just kind of like very funny, very,
yeah,
very Shonda. That was
cool. I really like, it was kind of like breaking the fourth wall of like, y'all are just talking about this shit right in front of me. I'm right here.
I may be from a war-torn country, but I don't have a war-torn heart, April. Yeah. Come on, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So yeah, sorry I cut you off there. What else with this storyline? What else were the standout moments here for you?
I really liked, I mean, I like the connection that the guy had, and I liked when he trolls April and he's like, this is how I wooed my wife, and she's like, "Oh," and he's like, "We went to see Terminator 3. Like, this, I'm fucking with you."
That is really funny. I do have do you have the receipts for that? What he says?
Yeah, hang on. Hold on.
Oh, it's something about a picnic under a cypress tree.
Yeah, with like honey and almonds and.
Yeah. What's funny is I also saw Terminator 3 in theaters.
I have seen not that. I've seen none of them.
None?
I've seen enough of the first one.
But then it's if fine. You did, you would have watched the second one. And if you watched the second one, you would have watched the third one. And if you watched the third one, you would have stopped watching. No receipts? We don't have it.
I'm getting it. Give me a second.
Well, I didn't know you weren't this is a communication podcast, Kelsey.
Well, that's not true. That's where it's talking about Grays.
Grays is all about communication.
Oh, and then they're like, we'll pour bleach on the person because we don't have fucking betadine. I was like, this is so unsettling.
Mm.
Where is it?
It is okay if you can't find it.
Yeah, I can't.
It was just a funny troll. It's okay. But basically, it's very funny. And April's like, "Oh, love is real," and he's like, "Dude, no, Terminator shut the fuck 3. Up. We saw a movie."
Also, okay, this is really funny. Like when April comes in to talk to Meredith and Christina, and she says, "I can't meet her because I can't lie to a mother." And Meredith goes, "Don't sell yourself short. You thought you couldn't lie to Matthew either, but somehow you had it in you."
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny to me. And Meredith's like, "You should tell him the truth." And she does. And they don't really like show the conversation after. And then his mom is there and she goes by and he just like waves her away. So, like, did you take that as a breakup or did you just take that as he's mad? Like, how did you read it?
I took it as he's mad. Can you get the receipts for that actual scene? Not the scene with
the part where he's like, "Oh, like, I can't be mad at you because of Syria."
Yeah. That one.
She says, "You know, I was working with these Syrian guys today. They barely get any supplies. This is all they have to work with. But attendings all pitched in and we figured out a whole bunch of life-saving procedures they can do." And Matthew said, "That's great." She goes, "Yeah, my point is you think you need everything, but you don't. We can get by without a lot of stuff, right?" He says, "Sure. What exactly are we getting by without?" And she says, "My virginity," which is a choice. And then says, "I was a virgin for a really long time, and then I wasn't. I really wanted to wait for someone like you for marriage, but I screwed up, and I was so scared to tell you. But then I was watching these guys today, and they're literally, they have nothing left, and they're making do. And then I just felt like I was being so stupid to worry about this one little thing, like you couldn't get over it." And then he says, "So I guess I would be an ungrateful jerk if I worried about your virginity when there's a war going on somewhere and people are dying. That's what you're saying to me?" And she's like, no. He goes, "You didn't think I'd be more hung up on the lying? Because I bet even in a war, people still value honesty." Womp womp.
Yeah. That to me, and then the end, reads like a fight, not a breakup.
Yeah.
But also, maybe in his mind, the fight is the first doorway to the breakup. He just hasn't broke up with her yet. And that's why he doesn't want to meet the mom, her to meet the mom right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure if I was at Jess's college when I met her and we got into a big fight, she wouldn't be yearning to introduce me to her parents.
Yeah. I agree.
I wouldn't be yearning to introduce anyone to my parents ever. So.
But then, like, when she's stealing all the stuff and she's like, "Honesty isn't all it's cracked up to be." It's like, well, that's not really, like, let's not. To Matthew's point, he's not mad about, well, allegedly. It doesn't seem like he's mad about the virginity. It seems like he's mad about the lying. And I'm like, okay, so honesty is good. You should have just had the honesty earlier.
Right.
It's still about the lie.
Yeah. And then she doubles down by then stealing.
Yeah, well, but she's stealing for the right reasons.
Well, even Robin Hood was a villain in most stories.
He's fine.
He's fine. Don't get me wrong.
Also, Scarlett is very obsessed with Robin Hood right now. And she's like, "I would like a Robin Hood birthday party." And I'm like, I cannot express to you how there is no Robin Hood things for you to have a themed birthday party for Robin Hood. Like, this movie is old as fuck and also not that popular.
Yeah. Also, then, I think people would be concerned at what's, like, going on in the house, that your daughter is obsessed with stealing from the rich, giving to the poor.
No,
like,
she's
what's
just
going
obsessed
on
with the Disney Robin Hood, not, like, the overall, like, Robin Hood story, like, specifically the fox.
Okay. Just have her watch Zootopia.
Well, and then I was like, okay, guys, we need to order new spinny toothbrushes. So come look and like pick out what character you want. And she was like, I want Robin Hood. And I'm like, girl, the way there is not a spinning toothbrush in the world with Robin Hood on it. Like, I am so sorry. And she's like,
did
oh, for
you
Halloween.
Google it? Like, did you confirm?
Yeah. And then she's like, for Halloween, can I be Maid Marian? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, we have got to move on. I was like, girl, I'm not paying like $300 for someone to custom make you this costume. I am so sorry. It would be precious. Can confirm,
nothing Robin Hood exists.
It would be precious, anyway, really. But I will not do it. Anyways, so that's what I'm dealing with right now. So yeah, April steals, but honestly, like, you know, just kind of, it's all right. I'm not mad about it.
It's fine. You know, they fired her once and they hired her back. They then fired her a second time and then hired her back. The third time could stick, though.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't. You do.
I do know. It's true. Okay, so any more on the Matthew, April, or Syrian doctor storyline? Anything that, like, really hit you other than that first very drama moment?
The other thing that I will say is it's very first world problems, where I think there's one scene where Alex says, just give them more supplies. And Weber, I think, has to be the voice of reason of, okay, and then what?
And then they'll run out of supplies. That's the issue.
So that's another thing that kind of stood out, is there's just a disbelief or an inability to understand the true gravity of the situation in a lot of ways. Then there's, you know, obviously the one doctor is a vessel for Arizona to let Ethan stay. And he goes, if we help even one child, it's everything. Mm-hmm. That line goes so hard.
That sentiment is so correct. True. For me, I was just like, that doesn't mean you can just start admitting children to the hospital because Owen feels attached to them. That's because it's not even helping Ethan, it's helping Owen.
There's another scene where one of the doctors, I don't remember who they're with, but they're in the supply closet and they're just like sitting there, just basically they're just standing. And he goes, we don't have a lot of quiet anymore. Yeah. And I will actually tell you from a personal standpoint, I've really tried to embrace silence and like just turning the phone, like putting it away for a second, sitting in silence, because you don't get like, and when I'm on the train going to work, it's not silent. When I'm driving in my car, it's not silent. When I'm at work, it's not silent. When I'm with Jess, it's not silent. When I'm with Marlo, it's not silent. It's
certainly not silent. Friends, it's definitely not silent in my house. I'll tell you that right now.
And you know, when we do the podcast, it's not silent, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just, I get it. And I think that the world needs a little bit more quiet time with their
thoughts. I drive in the quiet, not like all the time, but probably more than most, just because, like, to your point, there's just not a lot of places where I have silence because children. And then especially like leaving weddings, I'll drive like the first little bit in silence just to like decompress a bit. Because there's so much like just chaos all day long. And then obviously like at the end of the night, it's like literally a DJ at the party. So
But even like sleeping isn't even silent sometimes.
Yes.
We've got the baby monitors. We've got, we have a fan in our bedroom. We've got a ceiling fan. We've got the dog tossing and turning.
The noise of your brain. If your brain doesn't shut off like mine does.
Yeah. So that was a very poignant scene.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate silence. Like when you had told me, like when I drove to Orlando for like a very fast turnaround, and you were like, oh, I can't imagine driving. And I was like, honestly, like 8 hours of potential silence sounds really nice to me. And there was part of that drive that I just did it in quiet. I listened to podcasts. I listened to music. I listened to books. I called people and like caught up with people that I don't always get to talk on the phone to. But a lot of it I did like just... It's also like part of driving through Georgia is very empty. It's kind of just like nice trees. So anyways,
you never call and catch up with me.
Yeah, well, I talk to you a lot.
I don't think so.
I do call your wife often, but I always forget about the time change. And I'm always calling her when she's like, literally, I'll just be like, ugh, maybe she's not doing anything important. And she'll text me and be like, are you okay? I'm in a meeting. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I just like thought I would call and make you not do your work.
Yeah. I just miss you, you know,
all the time.
Let's do a quick capitalism break, and then we'll hit the home stretch here. We'll be right back. Capitalism, do your thing. No bad stuff, only good stuff, capitalism. And we are back, and I hope all of your ads were about ice cream or, I don't know, Pokemon cards, just good things, you know, Labubus, you know.
Did you just learn about the Labubus?
No, I've known about them. I just don't understand it. They're just like plushy things, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I spend money on collecting pieces of cardboard. So, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine.
Let's talk about Meredith and Derek.
Let's do it.
Talking about their genomes and talking about their updating their will and doing medical directives. And
ooh, making, and Shane and Heather.
Making wills so expensive. Should not be expensive to make a will. It's fucking bullshit.
We have not done our will yet. We need to. We've gotten most of the stuff done. We just need to do the will.
Yeah. Do you have, like, you have it written though, because you wrote it when you went to Spain. I mean, not like a will, but like a general.
There's a living will. There's a hope that we have that exists. I think mm-hmm. I have it printed off in a safe space somewhere. And Jess and I are aligned on that. And I really don't see a world where we're going on any trips like across the, you know, where a plane could crash. Although, you know, we have a trip coming up in 2 weekends where we're going out of town for like an overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get in a car crash and die. Like, what could happen? You know?
Don't.
We won't.
Where are you going?
I hope. Knock on wood. Indianapolis for a night.
Mm.
We're like driving out to Indy to go see Taylor Tomlinson.
That's right. I was like, I know you told me you're doing something, but I don't remember. That's right.
Yeah. You know, my wife did this really amazing thing. I'm so lucky to have her.
Oh God.
She came up with a date night idea to go and get a hotel for a night in Indianapolis to see Taylor Tomlinson. And then made me plan everything. It was really awesome. I think
it's just simply not that hard.
You're right. She could have done it. I'm glad we're on the same page.
You should do it. She does so many things.
So do I.
She does more.
No.
I promise you she does more.
It's 50. It's 50-50.
It's not even close to 50-50.
You're right. I do more.
There was recently
we're agreeing again. We're doing this thing where we agree.
That said that on average men create 7 hours worth of housework for their partners every week.
I'm not doing that.
Mm.
I don't ask her to do anything. She asks me to do things. She creates housework for me. It's flipped.
I don't think you're understanding. Which is unsurprising.
Are you trying to say that I do things that cause her to do work?
Yeah. Or by not doing work, you're also causing her to do work.
No. Incorrect.
Do a dish, Carmen.
False. I do dishes.
When asked.
Even unasked. Also, I'm responsible for paying for the lawn mowing bills.
Oh my God.
It's all about the mental load, Kelsey. You don't even understand.
Okay.
I carry 99% of the mental load.
That is so inaccurate. And I know that to be inaccurate.
Podcast burp. All right, let's okay, keep talking about Derek and Meredith.
So they do the living will stuff, and she's like, oh, well, the kids will go to Christina. And he's like, well, Christina doesn't want kids. And she's like, yeah, but it's not the kids. It's our kids. So it's okay. Which Michael and I have had similar conversations about people in our lives. When we talk about like who would take the kids should something happen. And he's like, well, what about this person? I'm like, I don't know that they are going to have kids. I don't know that they want kids. And he's like, yeah, but it's our kids. I'm like, but there's such a jump from I don't want to have kids to now I'm going to raise three children. And also this close family member of mine is dead. I'm like, I just don't know that that's like the move that maybe you think it is. So we've had a similar conversation. Yeah. But I mean, it's
a big jump.
It's hard to think about like who will raise your child should something happen. Obviously, that's like worst case scenario. And they do a little bit of a fourth wall break here, because they say like we so many bad like Mike or Derek is like, oh, this is just disaster. Like disasters don't happen, and she's like, they happen to us all the time. And he's like, you know what? That's so true. So many bad things happen to us and we're somehow still alive. So that's just like a fun little
we're like, invincible
meta call out kind of thing. Like, wow, so crazy that all this happens and we just continue to, you know, exist in the world. So he has her ask Christina to make sure, like, you know, will she take them? And she's like, yeah, of course I'll take them. But like, you know, I'm going to have this really great nanny and all this stuff. And she's like, well, I didn't really want that. Like, I wanted, you know, them to like be raised by somebody. And Christina's like, well, you know, I don't know that I'm going to really be that. So there's just kind of some back and forth on it, and then Meredith's like, okay, so you don't want to do this, this isn't really like what I want for them, which is fine. That's why you have to have these conversations, because if you're going to leave your children to a person, you want them to do what you like want for your kid. And so
absolutely, yeah,
they talk about it. And she's like, oh, put it in your will that I get to take your kids for 3 weeks every year, which is a really cool, like, I do think that's a really cool concept to do. And so I like that. But I think the conversation was important. And also, like, when Meredith's like, well, I know she'll say yes. And Derek's like, great, then I'll be wrong and that'll be good for everyone. And I'm like, ain't that the fucking truth?
Yeah, and you'll get to tell me I'm wrong, which everybody loves.
So true.
I think what do they say at one point? Which sister do you hate the least?
Yeah. And then
I don't know who they decided on.
She's like, oh, Kathleen's not bad, and he's like, well, what about Lizzie? You and Lizzie got along. She's like, oh yeah, I forgot about Lizzie. And he's like, I don't want to leave our children with someone you forgot about. And he's like, ah, who cares? It'll be fine. Everything's
not
fine.
Too bad. It's fine. In this case, you're both dead.
Yeah. Yeah, being forgettable in that way, like, you're being forgettable in that I don't remember that, like, enough to hate you, which is good, I guess.
Well, yeah, if that's the anti, it's like the anti-hero of compliments.
Yeah.
I didn't hate you when I met you.
Yeah, exactly. It's the backhanded compliment, I guess, kind of.
That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know why I use like such a weird rigmarole way of explaining.
Just because of who you are. That's fine.
Amazing.
Like
in that scene, I think that's where Christina also goes, Mare, you had me at lethal injection.
Oh yeah.
Is that the same conversation?
Well, because Meredith tells Derek, like, as soon as I start showing signs for Alzheimer's, I want you to kill me, basically. Like, shoot me up with morphine so I die, so that, like, you don't have to watch me deteriorate and all this stuff. And then, he kind of hesitates, and he's like, well, you know, we'll see what happens. And Meredith's like, no, I don't want to see what happens. I want you to do it. And, so there's kind of like some back and forth on that. And so then she kind of sees like, he's not really committing enough to this the way I would want him to. So I'm going to have Christina do it. I'm going to ask Christina about it. And so then she's like, you'll shoot me up, right? And Christina's like, yeah, immediately. And then Meredith keeps talking. And that's when Christina's like, you really don't have to convince me. Like, I'm happy to murder you.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, their relationship.
And it's interesting when she's like, oh, my mom couldn't remember anything I said. And so I thought she didn't give a shit about me. And I don't want our kids to go through that. And I'm like, I just don't think that it's really like a one for one because of the existing relationship that Ellis and Meredith had or didn't have, like, would have precluded that. Like, her getting Alzheimer's after a long relationship that's like very positive with her children would not yield the same results
as also, like what happened with traumatic? Ellis. What's more traumatic? Your mom starting to deteriorate and you understand because there's lots of dialogue around it and like healthy conversations.
Exactly.
Or the morphine massacre that's about to happen. Like what is better? Like, let's think about that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make that decision for you in this hypothetical scenario.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just kind of, I mean, we agree. It is what it is. So, and then there was something else with Christina and Meredith, I feel like. I don't remember. But, yeah, so Meredith.
Well, there's that scene where they're talking about Owen, and they're oh, he's like so weird lately, blah blah blah. And then they see him with Ethan, and I guess again, it's like alluded to that he's like missing the dad vibe or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And while all of this is going on, so Derek had to kick Shane off his service. They did the rotation. You okay there?
Yeah, I popped my neck. It hurts really bad. I need just like a 7-hour massage.
Yeah, yeah. So Shane is like stretching himself thin. I think he's covering the ER and also doing all of Derek's like MRIs and shit. Mm-hmm. And Heather,
but like what he's like, doing for Derek is like little detailed stuff like post-op and then like, oh, I want to make sure his MRI's done the way he likes it. Like things that other people can do. It's not that Derek is going out of his way to request Shane do all these things. Shane's right. doing he's it because doing it. He wants to get back in Derek. He wants to like impress Derek. And Weber sees this and he's like, sees that Shane is basically sacrificing his own education to kiss Derek's ass essentially. And Weber goes to Derek and is like, you're going to have to end this because no one else is going to be able to get him to stop doing this unless like he's told by you that there's essentially no chance of him like being back on your service. And Derek, to his credit, again, I've said this before and I'll continue to say it. I think Derek is a great teacher and a great mentor. He does not want to hurt Shane's feelings. You can see that this is difficult for him. He tries to do it really nicely several times before he has to kind of pivot and go like the really straightforward, harsh route. And he still does, like, he feels bad about it. He likes Shane a lot as a person, and I think that's a very obvious thing. And he wishes that Shane had the natural talent that Heather has or that he sees in Heather. Again, don't really understand how catching things and having fast hands.
That's exactly whatever. What I was going to say. We went from she's a circus act to she like spritzed a little bit of saline onto the brain with a booger sucker. And now she's like this neuro whiz. I wasn't understanding it fully. But, you know, the thing that I like about Derek, yes, he's a good teacher. The thing I don't like about Derek is that he says to Shane, what, like, she has natural ability that you'll never have. You just mask it with really hard work. You've got great work ethic. You're going to find something that, like, you're passionate about and it really, and it clicks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. When Shane goes, but I'm good. I work hard. That should count for something. And he's like, in this scenario, Shane, it doesn't. It doesn't count to me. The natural ability is more important. So I have an obligation to teach Heather because if she could get the hard work, on top of the natural ability, that's me. Yeah. And I have a responsibility to that. So, and Shane gives her the death stare.
It's the definition of if looks could kill. Like, it is crazy, like, the way that he looks. And, man, and she's like, I can't take a hint. I'm like, girl, you cannot read the room.
Yeah. And then she's like, you like the flavor of my gum I picked? I have terrible breath.
Yeah.
Want to see me catch
something?
They
really up her weirdness.
Yeah, they do. They do. And then at the end, she's like, where are we going, sensei? Like, she's a goob. She's a goob. She's, and I like
such
her, though.
A tiny
I like
little
her.
Goob. I do feel for Shane because he came into that program being like, I want to work with Derek Shepherd. And he's put a lot of work in and he is good. It's just that Heather is better at it. And it bums, you can tell it bums Derek out. I mean, I'm not going to fault Derek for this at all. I think he is doing Shane a favor by being like, I'm not teaching you. You do need to spend your time and energy finding like a different specialty because you're going like he's doing himself a disservice by like focusing on something where he's not going to where Derek is like going to try and focus his teaching on Heather.
Yeah.
But yeah, that look that he gives, whoo, that was rough.
Yeah. There is one like little teeny tiny storyline.
Oh, the Jackson stuff. Everyone harassing Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we could just like very briefly run through that.
Yeah. So mostly Callie is like, man, everyone loves my cartilage stuff.
I'm a viral sensation.
You got to fund my cartilage lab. And Jackson's like, submit your proposal in writing and everyone will vote on it. Like, it's fine. And then she really just keeps harping on it. And then he says, like, over and over, he's like, everyone just submit it. And then everyone votes, like, why is this a hot issue? And then Richard comes up to him later and says, like, hey, why don't you let me buy you some dinner? I'd like to talk to you about something I'm thinking about. And he's like, everyone can write up their proposals and submit it to the entire board. And then I will vote with the entire board and I'll submit one myself. And I'm just going to follow the procedures and I'm going to submit the proposal and everyone will vote. And then Richard's like, no one's going to let you do that. Jackson, you still get to operate, but we're not going to let you have a project because you're in charge of the whole hospital. So you don't get to have another project. The hospital is your project. And Jackson's like, yeah, it's exhausting. And then Richard's like, if somebody offers to buy you dinner and you don't care about hearing what they have to say, just let them buy you dinner anyways. Their kind of like relationship is nice to see because it's different, obviously, than when Richard was chief, but there is still like a general kind of understanding of the situation and of just like the administrative aspect to it. And it's nice to see him like support Jackson through that.
Yeah. And you know, it's even a nice little touch. It's like not subtle at all. But when he leads in, he goes, son,
yeah,
you know what I learned when I was chief? Mm-hmm. Fucking take the free damn food, kid.
Yeah.
Did it remind you of
Hamilton when he's like, call me son one more time?
Yeah, it did. And I love it.
Yeah.
I need to watch all of Hamilton right now.
You're welcome. So, anything else with any of that?
I think we got through all my notes. In the beginning there was the flirting with, Owen and Christina and Chris. She was like, oh, I was going to put on that shirt that you said I'm not allowed to wear when we have arguments. Super sexual. And that's all I got. That was the one other thing that I wanted to say about that.
Okay, cool. Well, let's rate it. And then, let's rate it first, and then we'll do the questions.
There's a couple scenes that I really liked, but overall, this is a 3.2.
I'm going to say, yeah, right there with you, like a 3.5, mainly because there were multiple lines that made me laugh out loud. And then also, I do think the Syrian doctor storyline would have been great regardless, but I think they did just a really good job. It was just more impactful the way they did it, and like the visuals and kind of like the pacing of it. I did enjoy that a lot.
That storyline extrapolated out by itself is probably a 4.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a lot of questions. Who would win in a fist fight, Bailey or Meredith? Because at the front end of the episode, when Bailey is like procrastinating telling Meredith her results, Meredith says, "I'll punch you in the face." So who would win in a fist fight?
I gotta put my money on Meredith. She's got the reach.
Interesting. I do feel like Miranda's scrappy.
Miranda for sure is scrappy. It's gonna be a full 15 round split decision,
mm-hmm.
Rocky 2 style.
I think it would just go until someone separated them.
Actually, Rocky 2 was a knockout. It's gonna be a full Rocky 1 split decision.
Okay, whose service would you least like to be on, and whose would you most like to be on?
Least like to be on is Arizona's. I'm not hardcore. I could not be around the dead kids, the dying kids.
Yeah. Well, if I'm talking about specialties, I have no idea. But if I'm talking about who just as a person I would want to work with, I feel like I would want to work with Arizona.
Yeah. I think Arizona's cool.
Or
I'd like to work
Jackson.
With Arizona. Okay. So but, if we're with
distracted.
The person, not the. Yeah.
Because he's so pretty.
Yeah.
Or Callie, mainly because Callie's a badass. She's trending.
Cartilage is trending. Cartilage is going viral. I think I would if I knew all the stuff that Jackson had been through, and I'm like a person working on a service, I'm like, I wanna be a part of the plastics posse. I wanna be, yeah. You know, like that would be cool.
Yeah,
there's really no one that I don't think I'd want to be on their service. I wouldn't want to be on Christina's service.
Yeah, I think Christina might be. I love that character. She's like one of my favorites. Probably would not jive with me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like when people are like, "Oh, I love Ron Swanson. Ron Swanson and me. I would be best friends with him." He's like, "No, you wouldn't, Ron. No, that's the point.
No,
you would
hate
all of us."
Yeah.
Okay. When did you realize that Bailey was the common denominator? When they said it.
When they said it. Yeah. Literally didn't see it coming.
If it had been Leah's fault, do you think they would have fired her or put her on a suspension like they did with Izzy?
They would have fired her like they did with April.
Maybe they learned from Izzy. Fire people. Yeah.
Fire them before they can cut the olive ads.
Is there a better way Derek could have handled the Shane situation? No, I think he tried. Like, he kind of beats around the bush a little bit. Like, he tries to ease his way into it, but.
Well, I think also, too, what I'm understanding is it's a rotation. Like, Shane, mm-hmm. just go learn everything you can until
that rule constantly in the show.
Yeah. That's what I would say. I mean, the only thing he could have done better is say, you will be back on my rotation at some point.
Yeah.
Right now, just focus on the other stuff. Yeah. And if and when you're back on my rotation, we will jump right back into where we were.
Yeah. Who do you think Meredair should pick as their first and second legal guardians?
I don't remember the sisters enough. So.
Yeah, probably the sisters.
I can't.
And then, I don't know, maybe Callie in Arizona.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Callie in Arizona, didn't think about that. I guess I just don't see them all as that super close.
Yeah.
The family has to make the most sense, I think.
And
then
what,
Christina gets the adjacency rights
in
the year.
What are your beliefs about working when sick/sickish? Well, we already talked about it. It's bullshit. We shouldn't have it structured, but kind of is the way that it is here, and people have to do it because everything is terrible.
I think it, for me, I see both sides, because if I'm really, like, if I got the flu, mm-hmm. or if I'm got food poisoning, I'm staying home. If I have a cough, I'm going to work. If I have hives, I'm going to work. If I'm more uncomfortable at home, not able to focus on what I'm doing, and it's stressing me out not being at work, I'll just go to work.
But what there if it's are sick definitely in a way pieces, that you can get other people sick.
Yeah, but that too. If I'm like super contagious, I will say the thing that's changed since post-COVID is masks are way more like culturally acceptable.
Yeah.
So if I'm at work, like if I was told that I had COVID and I'm still dealing with a cough weeks later, I'd be masking up at work.
Yeah.
But I was negative for everything.
Yeah.
So this cough is just like a nothing cough.
Yeah.
So just
like residual irritation.
Yeah. Or like if I went in there and they said your lungs are fucked, you've bronchitis, I'm not mm-hmm. going to work. I'm saying, doc, give me a week off. Give me a note. I'll submit it myself to HR. But you know, if you got a little sniffle, go to work. Like,
but that's contagious. And like, if you work with someone who's like immunocompromised or something, like you don't know if they just have a weaker immune system, and it's like, then you're passing those germs around.
Glove up, throw a mask on.
I was going to say something and then it fell right out of my brain.
It's okay.
I'm thinking about being sick. Oh, with post-COVID, like having everyone figuring out like how to operate in so many ways from home. Now it's like you take a sick day and they're still like, well, I can still just bother you. You can still get on the Zoom call. You can still do X, Y, and Z. Like, you can just shit your brains out while you're on the Zoom call with me. So that's kind of frustrating because like sometimes with the sick day, it's like, okay, but I need to like rest so I cannot be sick anymore. Like I'm not, also it's like, you're not necessarily your best self. You don't have potentially all your like thoughts and wits about you. I mean, that's not true for all jobs. Like I cannot do my job. If a wedding is happening, I cannot do that job from home. I can do all the prep work from home. The day of the wedding, cannot do anything if I'm not at the wedding.
Exactly.
But obviously some jobs like can be done offsite. Is Richard helping Jackson or using him? I think he's helping him.
Well, here's the thing. Here's one of my predictions. Richard is not wanting to give him a proposal for the hospital. He wants to give him a proposal about his mom.
A proposal for a proposal.
A proposal for a proposal.
Intriguing.
Like, I'm taking you out to dinner as the man of your household to ask for your mom's hand in marriage.
Mm-hmm. Rather than have Bailey sit down in front of most of the board at the inn, should Owen have taken her to his office to discuss the situation one-on-one? He doesn't have an office. He did get rid of the office. And he has operated out of the conference room as an office. That's one thing that they managed to stay pretty consistent on. I don't also know, because this feels like they're talking about like making statements. They're talking about getting legal involved. And so it's not necessarily in front of other doctors. It is a board situation. Now, this is where you kind of run into the issue of like, the doctors who work at the hospital own the hospital. So this is where the lines are blurry and kind of like awkward.
Yeah. And it's not like he's sitting there disciplining her or giving her like a write-up in front of other people.
Yeah.
Which again is uncomfortable because they're the board and they're her friends and they're her direct reports, their peers. So that's a lot happening. But he was basically just saying, sit down, don't go anywhere. Don't make the situation fucking worse. He was just not clearly communicating it.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Do you think that Bailey is guilty of a mistake? You already said no.
Nope, I don't.
Do you think in a real hospital, even if it was owned by doctors, there would need to be more additional paperwork done before giving out extra equipment. But, well, she was stealing it, so that's the answer.
Yeah, yeah, she's just stealing it. But I'm sure there are paperwork pieces in place.
Should anyone give Leah an apology? I mean, maybe Miranda can apologize for the tone that she used, but she was the one who said immediately, it was me, I was sick.
Right. So she kind of started the ball rolling.
Yeah. Do you think Meredith will get Alzheimer's during the run of the show?
No. Yes, actually. And I think that's why she leaves. Either they kill her off or her Alzheimer's gets bad and she needs to, that's why she leaves the show.
Will April get in trouble for giving the Syrian doctors so much stuff after the recent budget cuts?
Yes. Maybe fired.
Since Derek wants Shane to explore other specialties, what do you think he is likely to choose?
I don't know. Ortho? We haven't gotten a new person in ortho. Ortho. That's my answer.
Do you think Heather will stick with neuro?
I do, for some reason.
What do you think? We will see Matthew again, or is this the end of him in April?
Yeah, we'll see him next episode.
Good God, Carmen. Be alive.
My bad. We'll see him next episode. But that will be, if we see him next episode, we're going to get some answers.
Yeah.
He might propose. I don't know
who we didn't see this episode? Was Joe.
Joe, my girl. Yeah. Someone on Instagram asked who my favorite characters right now are, and I think Joe is my favorite character right now.
Yeah. Okay.
He's just so hot.
Are there any other predictions we need to make?
I predict you. Everyone who listened today is going to have a great day.
I hope a beautiful day. Did you?
You're going to find $5 on the ground.
Say anything about Christina and Owen?
No, but I predict that she's gonna back off because he clearly wants kids still.
Did we say anything about, not really anything on Arizona and this episode other than she was like helping the doctors. There wasn't really anything on her specifically.
Yeah.
Derek and Meredith, just kind of vibing.
They're going to be good. I predict that they're good.
Yeah, I don't know that there's really anything. We made a lot of predictions during this episode.
Good luck, Alicia.
Sorry. All right, well, good stuff. Feeling good about it? Can't wait for next week. We got 4 episodes left in season 9. And then we're going to wrap it right on up. And then we'll move right on along to season 10, which is so many seasons and somehow still not even halfway.
Oh, almost halfway there.
R.I.P. So, yay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sorry we were rambling in this one. We were all over the place. But, you know, it is what it is. We appreciate your patience as we kind of adjust with last week's little bit different schedule. But we hope you're enjoying Current Greys if you still watch. And, you know, maybe you watched the 450th episode, which is crazy. But just continue to share, please share us on your socials, tell people all about us, visit graysacademypod.com for all of our socials and our links and whatnot. And you can email graysacademypod@gmail.com if you want to chit chat with me about anything. And just appreciate you guys so much. And if you see Carmen walking on the street, just remember,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much. and we'll see you all in the next one.